Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour with me, your host, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And welcome to the second programme on the theme of relaxation. Tonight we focus on Christian relaxation. Christian relaxation, I hear you say. Is that different from any other relaxation? Well, I certainly hope so. Both Christians and non-Christians get uptight and anxious and stressed, but they deal with it differently. Basically, Christians have a vertical dimension which non-Christians choose to ignore, neglect, or do without. The non-Christian world's advice on relaxation is things like pull yourself together, get better organized, try harder, say no more often, look after yourself, try various therapies, take the pills. And there's a lot of common sense in the advice, but there's also a lot of rubbish advice. So what is Christian relaxation? It's things like, find your peace in God. Be still and know that He is God. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Trust Jesus. Pray to your loving Heavenly Father. Live in the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Remember God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in control. It's not all up to us. We're not alone, left to our own devices. Let the body of Christ, the Church, embrace you and give you a helping hand. So today's programme is all about the art of Christian relaxation. It is an art and a skill which needs daily practising and perfecting, but it is worth it.
Rescue.
So here are some quick tips and handy hints in the martial art, the essential life skill of Christian relaxation. Remember the story of Jesus and his disciples on a boat in the Sea of Galilee when a storm came up. The disciples were panicking, and when they turned round, they found Jesus was asleep on the boat. Wow, how could he do that? We struggle to get a good night's sleep even in the comfort of our own beds. And there's Jesus, sleeping while travelling, sleeping on a boat during a storm. I remember being on the ferry to Gothenburg from Newcastle, and after 2 hours I was seasick, and it was a 22-hour sail. Jesus' disciples, including the professional fishermen, were panicking. So what was Jesus' secret? Well, the answer is he had trust in his heavenly Father. There's a chorus which goes, "With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm." I remember being on an aeroplane, and sitting next to me was a little baby. It was so young, it was obviously its first ever flight. It had no idea where it was going, what was going to happen next, and the baby was perfectly happy and content, because at the other side of it was its dad. As long as dad was there and it could look into dad's face, the baby was quite relaxed. I've got a photograph in my house. It's of a baby from Ardrossan called Zach. It's taken by the grandfather. He was in the photographic club and he gave me a copy. The father is holding the baby on his arms and the baby's fast asleep. It's a lovely picture of childish innocence, of trust, of love. The father holding that baby and looking after it. I often think of that baby as Jesus in the hands of Joseph. We are children in the hands of God. There's one other story comes to my mind. When I was a little boy, about 4 years old, our family went on a very long journey from Fraserburgh to Great Yarmouth, which is a long journey to anybody, but especially if you're only four. So to amuse me, my parents bought me a plastic steering wheel and they stuck it on the dashboard. All morning, all afternoon, early evening, I was sitting there driving. The head was beginning to nod, and I was fighting off the sleep manfully, till eventually I had to concede, and I turned to my dad, and I said, "Dad, do you think you could take over now and drive the rest of the way?" And without even the hint of a smile, he looked at me and said, "Okay, son, I'll drive the rest." We think we're in control, but life shows us often that we're not. But we do have a Heavenly Father. He does look after his children. Take him at his word. "I will never fail you or forsake you. I am with you always. You are precious in my eyes and honoured, and I love you." Christian relaxation is the art of resting in God, safe in the arms of Jesus. Here's Catherine Jenkins.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. To order.
Thinking of Christian relaxation, another hero of that is Elisha in the Old Testament. He seemed to have bifocal spectacles of faith. Remember the time when the Syrians came to the city of Dothan to capture Elisha? Elisha's servant looked out and saw the vast army of Syrians and he had kittens. Elisha, however, remained amazingly calm, saying to his frightened servant, "Fear not, for those who are on our side are more than those who are on their side." It's as if he had these bifocal spectacles of faith. He could see in the immediate foreground his problem, but he could also see behind it the heavenly army in the background come to rescue him. If we could only see the immediate problems of our daily life in the wider context of God's providence and love and care. Perspective and perception really help a lot when it comes to Christian relaxation. There's a famous old Scottish saint called Haliburton, and he used to say, when he was sad or depressed, he would go out at night and look up at the dark sky. At first he would say, "Look how dark the sky is," but he would know to keep looking at the sky till he saw a star, and then another, and then another, and then another, till he got the impression that the dark night sky wasn't as dark as he first thought. It was full of twinkling stars. Well, count your blessings one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Here's Don Francisco singing the song about Elisha's experience.
There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. A king who hated Israel is trying to win a war, but every move he made, it seemed that Israel knew before. Now it's not a spy inside our camp, his men explained one day. There's a prophet named Elisha, hears every word you say. Well, they found out where Elisha lived, and the army marched that night. They surrounded all the city by the morning's early light. When Elisha's servant rose, he saw that army all around. And he said, "What are we gonna do? They're gonna cut us down." But Elisha told his servant, "Now don't give in to your fear. Those that are with us are more than all this army here." And Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would have the sight required. And he saw God's mighty army with its chariots of fire. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. It doesn't matter how it seems, how strong the enemy. Don't believe your eyes, believe your father's guarantee. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. The enemy moved toward the town, and Elisha prayed a prayer. "Lord, strike them all with blindness, let confusion be a snare." God struck that whole army blind, and he brought them to defeat. The victory he gave that day was total and complete. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. It doesn't matter how it seems, how strong the enemy. Don't believe your eyes, believe your father's guarantee. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. The eyes of God search all the earth to find each blameless heart, to show his power and faithfulness, to take his children's part. And though fear is all around you, don't you dare give in, 'cause the battle is the Lord's and he's the one who's gonna win. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see. It doesn't matter how it seems, how strong the enemy. Don't believe your eyes, believe your father's guarantee. There's more that stand on our side, no matter what you see.
When it comes to Christian relaxation, I think my favourite passage is the one of Peter walking on water. Whenever I feel out of my depth, it's the first passage that comes to my mind. It's Peter walking on water, not so much Jesus walking on water. Ordinary Pete from down the street. Well, how could he do it? Well, it was hand in hand with Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. When you look at yourself, when you look at the wind and the waves, you begin to sink. But when you look away from yourself and look to Jesus, you get strength beyond your own strength. With Jesus, fear becomes thrill. With Jesus, we can walk on water, do the impossible. With Jesus, we can relax in any circumstance. There's a chorus which says, with Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm. With Jesus, we can even smile when we're out of the boat, in the storm. There was a young bird up in a high nest, and it had never flown yet. And it was looking down from its high perch and hesitating before making that first ever flight. The mother bird saw it and gave it a wee nudge and said to it, "You're a bird, you can fly." Christians were designed by God to live, to fly. He gave us wings like eagles. He wants us to have life in all its fullness. Here's Roger Patterson, a local man from just down the street from the studio, singing Spirit Wings.
They sing a quiet song, and like them I could sing for only you. But Lord, your love released me to sing a different song, and soar above the captive life I knew. My heart is flying free. I'm soaring on the song your spirit brings. Oh Lord of all, you let me see a vision of your majesty. You lift me up, you cast spirit wings. Now when my life confines me, I just look to you, and soon my heart is soaring high above. Troubles look much smaller from your point of view. Lifted up on spirit wings of love. Spirit wings, you lift me over all the earthbound things, and like a bird my heart is flying free. I'm soaring on the song your spirit brings.
Think of Christian relaxation in the face of extreme pressure, then I think of the story of Daniel in the lion's den, or maybe Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego facing the fiery furnace. If you don't bow down to my statue, I'll put you in the fiery furnace, said the king. They were all amazingly relaxed about things. They said, our God will protect us and save us. Nevertheless, we will do the right thing, even if we have to die for it. What an attitude and a spirit, how relaxed in the face of pressure. Jesus himself said, only when you're ready to lose your life for God are you able to gain the fullest life. So trust him, launch out, push the boat out, live a little. Let go of the rail at the side of the ice rink or the swimming pool. Step out of the comfort zone. Then and only then you will really live. Then and only then you'll be relaxed in the face of anything.
young man. He was strong and handsome, intelligent and friendly and brave. And he was very happy living in his homeland until people came and took him away. Daniel, you'll be brave. Daniel, you'll be brave. You've been taken far away and made a slave. Daniel, you believe. Daniel, you believe your God is near. So have no fear for Daniel. Your heart is free. When Daniel was an old man, the king had showed him favor, but all around were envious men. One day they caught him praying when it was forbidden, and threw him in the lion's den. Oh, Daniel's in the den, Daniel's in the den. It's nearly time for bed, and the lions need fed. Daniel's in the den, Daniel's in the den. But the people and the king have forgotten one thing, that Daniel, he's God's friend. It's early in the morning, the king is looking worried. He's running to the lion's den. Then Daniel says, good morning, the lion hasn't torn me. You see, my God has saved me again. Oh, Daniel, you're alive, Daniel, you're alive. It's a miracle that you haven't died. Daniel, please forgive, Daniel, please forgive. We'll tell every man living in this land that Daniel, your God lives. Oh, Daniel, your God lives. Oh, Daniel, your God lives.
If you want to enjoy Christian relaxation, then ask God for it. Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need and wants to give you more than you are even willing to come and ask. Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field. God provides for them. Look at the birds of the air. Your Heavenly Father provides for them too. In fact, if you think about it, not to trust the God who loves you is a slap in the face. It's a sin. So take your troubles to God, and then don't take them back home again. Take your troubles to God, leave them with Him, and relax and enjoy the life that God wants you to enjoy. Also, take one day at a time, said Jesus. That wasn't Lena Martel. That was Jesus. Also, keep one eye on eternity. See the daily things in the context and light of eternity. So here's Catherine Jenkins again to sing Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Include the sin aright.
The ultimate in Christian relaxation must be Jesus on the cross. He starts at one point by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And a little while later, he's able to say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There's a huge psychological journey there, to go from the stress and strain of feeling God forsaken to reach the highest point of devotion, to commit our whole beings into the care and keeping of God. So let go and let God. There was somebody who fell over a cliff, and halfway down the cliff a branch was sticking out, and they caught hold of the branch for dear life. And they looked up to the heavens and they said, God, help. But they heard a voice underneath saying, okay, just let go, I'll catch you. And they looked to the heavens and said, is there anybody else up there? Because we find it hard to just let go and let God. But that's the secret of Christian relaxation.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Every time I look into the holy book, I wanna tremble. But when I read about the part where a carpenter cleared the temple, for the buyers and the sellers were no different fellows than what I profess to be. And it causes me pain to know I'm not the guy that I should be. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea.
Calmed the sea.
Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Mama taught me how to pray before I reached the age of seven. And when I'm down on my knees, that's when I'm close to heaven. Daddy lived his life with two kids and a wife. You do what you must do. But he showed me enough of what it takes to get you through. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
The water.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed.